Hello.
My name is Matt.
My name is Abigail.
And welcome to the Polyglot Progress Podcast.
Wow, I forgot I was meant to be a part of that.
Dude, oh my gosh. Welcome, everyone. This is episode...
29? Let's say it. 29.
Okay.
Episode 29.
Sure, we're going to go with that. And today, we're going to talk about French and our stories.
Yes, we've kind of done this as a series with the podcast, so we've done a Esperanto R story and a German R story, so if you're interested in hearing about kind of how we got started and what our experience has been like for those two languages, feel free to check those out.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I think we're moving on to the last language, no, actually, because now we've learned Spanish and Italian.
Yeah,
I was
going to
say, it's the last language that we've both
studied.
Done, but actually it's not. We've got two more that we can do.
Yep.
But this is one of the other ones, I guess, that we both have experience in. It's also, much like the German one, going to be interesting because we both had very different experiences. I think this is actually the last
this
one
is
where
the
we both
kind of.
Have kind of learned the language, but not at the same time. Esperanto, Spanish, and Italian we've kind of done together, so our stories are quite similar. But for this, it's a little different.
I feel like it's kind of the inverse of our German story, where you learned French first, and then I learned it, and I learned it. To a much different extent than I think you learned German.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, I think, were much more successful, but we'll get into that.
Before we get started, we would like to thank the sponsor of this podcast.
What?
A sponsor? Hashtag spawn.
Whoa.
The sponsor today is, we're going to do this to protect identity slightly. We'd like to thank Michael for being our sponsor. Basically, if you're confused by why we would protect identity for a sponsorship, one of our Patreon perks is actually being a sponsor if you donate a certain amount. Is it donating, I guess?
Yes.
If you pledge on Patreon a certain amount, you get to be a sponsor. So if you would also like to be a sponsor, if you'd like maybe a shout out or if you want us to promote a product of yours or something, you can do that. Michael is, however, just a very helpful and supportive viewer, so nothing to specifically shout out here other than him for being great.
Thank you very much.
But obviously, if you pay for sponsorship, if you want us to talk about something, we're happy to do that, too.
This is true.
So if you're interested, you can check our Patreon out. But for now, thank you to our sponsor. And I guess also, let's catch up a little bit. It's been a little while since we've done a podcast.
We're at school. We're at college again. Finally moved in. Classes have started. And it's crazy.
It really is.
And so I think this will be going up
soon. Yeah, like today.
Okay, yeah.
No, it's going to technically go live in
two or three days.
We're going to upload it today.
Mm-hmm. So we're trying something new of, like, approaching our work for Polyglot Progress as, like, schoolwork, essentially, to try to get it in our schedule, which means pre-recording lots, editing a lot in advance.
Yeah, we've... So far we've pre-recorded, I think, two videos.
This'll be the third video.
Technically, there could be a few more. We're going to talk about this in another video, but I guess I'll mention it now. My hard drive, that is my Polyglot Progress hard drive, had everything that I do for Polyglot Progress on it, died, rest in peace. So I lost every piece of footage that I'd had for base recorded over the whole summer, which includes a bunch of projects that I had filmed and was going to edit now. So there's a possibility I can get some of it back, but certain things, like I recorded during Lang Jam and was going to do a vlog for that whole thing, and I think that footage is completely gone, and I recorded a French vlog at one point kind of talking about, it was just sort
what
of about
learned.
My life at that point in time, and I guess I could re-record it, but it's no longer, like, relevant because it was talking
video.
About my specific life happenings, so that one's also not gonna happen. There could be another, like, French life happenings vlog in the future, but, like, obviously that one specifically is lost.
The mango video
we re-recorded, but it's gonna be quite different from our other mango videos because we lost all of the footage we'd been accumulating for,
and
like, 6 months.
You were editing it, so that was the big thing. It was progress on editing.
Yeah, progress on editing was on that one was lost, but there were other projects that I hadn't even started to edit, like the Lang Jam one and that sort of thing that I'd kind of filmed and accumulated footage for, but unfortunately you guys probably aren't going to ever see, because... went down with the ship that was my hard drive.
Yeah.
So we had to start over with pre-recording stuff, but we've pre-recorded, I think, in the time since things died. We've pre-recorded now.
This will be the third video.
This is our third video. We're planning to maybe get to another podcast today if we have time, mm-hmm. or at least this upcoming week. I know you're planning to pre-record something, too. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of trying to split editing in a different way than we've ever really done before. Yeah. So mm-hmm. hopefully that will mean more videos for you guys.
Yeah, it's a whole different effort that we're attempting to approach the channel with, and hopefully mm-hmm. it'll... Our plan and hope is that it will create a video a week throughout the entire semester.
And it's important to note, we're changing our upload days. So if you're seeing this and it's Wednesday and you're like, you guys are late, why do you say you're pre-filming? We are actually pre-filming this. Our new upload day is going to be Wednesdays. So yep. you should see a video from us every Wednesday. We haven't discussed an exact time, but I think it'll probably be noon Eastern Standard Time again.
It's typically noon.
That's when we usually upload, and I don't think we're really going to change that. But mm-hmm. we are going to be posting on Wednesdays instead of Mondays. So... Mm-hmm. Just something to know if you're looking for videos on our channel.
Yep.
But we should have a video every single week. Sometimes it'll be a podcast, sometimes it'll be a video. We're not doing, like, a set order necessarily. There, we tried to get a podcast in, like, at least every 3 weeks, pretty much, but, they are kind of just going to be spaced out among where we have kind of other content that we want to see go up. With the fall semester, we've also done a new thing of kind of planning out specific, like, points in time we want things, so we do have like some like holiday related videos and stuff that are gonna mm-hmm. go up, so we're gonna kind of block podcasts in around when we want to post other things.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
And I guess just how are your languages going on a personal update note?
Well, being back at school, it's gotten worse, but at home it was going pretty well. Mm-hmm. In terms of we talk about this in an upcoming video, you have a language goals video coming out, but we talk about my ancient Greek has been going on. I've been doing my ancient Greek diary series, which people have been seeming to really enjoy, which I'm happy about. I described it as a language learning playthrough, like a let's play, but for language learning, and I kind of enjoy that. It's interesting because it's my entire thought process documented, mm-hmm. and like, but the problem with it is what's interesting about it being my progress. Like I hope it's interesting because I make connections to other languages and I kind of show why it's not the most difficult, even though Greek has been proving to be like the most difficult language I've studied so far. I'm trying to show how like I go about simplifying difficult mm-hmm. tasks in it, and like how I tackle book learning, essentially learning with the textbook,
because
mm-hmm. It's kind of been a backlash against textbook learning lately, and I enjoy textbook learning, so like
mm-hmm.
that's just my thing. And other than that, I've been having my German, like, revival. Everyone telling me, like, Matt, your German's fine, but I'm trying to up my German. So my German revival series, which I hope to stick with even though the semester's going on, I think it'll be easier to stick with, but I'm gonna have to do, like, I don't know, I'm just gonna have to try to make it work. Like, I feel like we still have our Spanish and Italian going on,
mm-hmm.
but I want to fit in Greek still, because I'm gonna miss it if I don't do it, because like I'm in love with it. Like I haven't had a love for a language like this in a while.
That's good.
And it feels really good. Like it's totally new, it's totally fascinating, and like I even, because it's ancient Greek specifically, like I'm taking a Greek philosophy class right now, I'm coming across words that are being described in English but the Greek, and then I write it out in the Greek alphabet in my book, and I'm like, ah, ha ha, I gotcha.
That's nice.
It's a lot of fun, and so I hope I'll get to read these texts in English, and then a few years down the line when I'm a classicist graduate at Harvard, I'll read these texts in Greek and be like, nice. Look at me now.
I have kept up with my daily study. That's mm-hmm. about all I can really say. My daily study, too, has been really just like, week the
talk,
past
talk a little about your internship,
like week or so. We've talked about that a lot already.
Well, that hasn't, they haven't heard of it.
They have on the podcast many
never mind.
Times
never mind.
That's why I'm saying we've talked about that a lot. I don't think anyone wants to hear about that
okay.
anymore.
Okay.
And they're gonna hear about it later.
Yeah.
In this podcast.
Oh true, you're right. Okay,
get ready guys.
Fair enough.
I'm gonna
turn
but
this.
Yeah, I haven't really done much because I was away for all of August, and then
yeah, that was tough.
Traveling
we
around a lot.
We planned to do a lot of study on that vacation, and it didn't work out as we intended. But that's how it
goes. No, we did actually do quite a bit of study. Like, I finished the Mango courses for both Spanish and Italian. I guess we haven't really updated since then. I did great beginning of August. did Spanish and Italian. Guess I did a little less than I initially wanted, but I still finished the courses, started reading Matilda in Italian with you.
Yeah, that was fun.
And then I had, like, a week at home to kind of, like, pack for my next trip and school. And then I went on a trip, and literally the day I got back at, like, 11 p.m., and then we got back to your house at, like, midnight, and then I slept, and the next morning we came here to move in. We had to go to school.
Oh, my God.
And so I really... It's been such a busy month, yeah. And then just such a busy summer in general. I think I total spent, like, 4 or 5 weeks at home, maybe.
I thought it was
maybe.
3 or 4. I think you said 3 or 4.
Yeah, it was, like, 3 or 4, I think. Because some of it might have added up to be, like, a 4th or 5th week, but it was, like, a day here and there. So it really was not a summer for productivity of languages and polyglot progress and that sort of thing.
I mean, I did work in a supermarket this summer where I got to speak lots of languages with people. I got to speak French, actually, topical, to this one really old couple that lived a few towns over, and they were absolutely adorable, and it made my day.
Nice.
And so that was sweet. And Italian and Spanish were other ones I got to use a lot. Surprisingly, Italian. I didn't expect that.
I will say the hardest for me was I was in, like, the woods in Tennessee for a week that, like, last week of August, and I didn't have service. And so the way that I had to study, because I also couldn't bring any textbooks or anything with me, so it's like, how do you study when you don't have connection to any language
apps?
When
all your resources are online,
and you don't have, like, a book with you or anything. So what I did was, something I do when I'm going through the Mango courses, but I don't have my notebook with me, is I screenshot words that I want to... like, write down in my notebook, because I feel like they'll be helpful for me. And so I still had all of those screenshots, so I used them as flashcards. I'd cover up the word, and I'd, like, quiz myself. So I did Spanish and Italian while I was there, just by,
that's,
like,
actually so funny,
quizzing,
like,
myself.
That's how the Mango course works, is it, like, genuinely
No, it
a flash
really
card,
is it's kind of like a flashcard.
You just swipe through it, so that's so funny.
So it worked out, but it was, like, at first I was like, oh, no, what do I do? I did not, like... I don't have anything downloaded to my phone that's, like, an offline thing right now.
Well,
In
terms of... Can I jump in terms of offline things?
Mm-hmm.
I've tried... When we read Robin Macpherson's book, McPherson, I keep pronouncing his name wrong, I think. He talks about content libraries. And so when I had read that, I was absolutely fascinated with the idea of a content library for all my languages. I was like, I'm going to make this for every language.
Yeah, I started working on that, and I didn't finish it.
I accumulated, like, at least one thing for every language. But I took my Spanish and Italian content libraries with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I made good... I've listened to a few podcasts. Like, what I would do is get a podcast and a transcript and then download those so I have them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was honestly really interesting. I think I need to have more diverse content, though, not just all podcasts everywhere. Because that kind of gets a little boring after a while.
Yeah, I mean, I also didn't want to be, like, listening to stuff because I was just, like, in a cabin with other people in the woods. So
yeah,
it's kind of like
I
need something
that.
Quiet as well.
Yeah.
Well, now it's been long enough that I think people are going to be like, get to the topic.
Yeah.
So let's get started.
French.
So French. I guess first let's talk about, like, when and how
okay.
we got started with French.
Well, you started first. So when did you start?
So I started taking French classes in 8th grade, so I was 13, I think. Is that how old you are in 8th grade?
I think so.
Yeah, I think I would have been 13. So I picked that language, I guess, at the end of 7th grade, so I would have been 12 still, because my birthday kind of comes at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, like, I picked it. We had one of those things where... you get, like, your choices in, like, your courses or whatever, like, what language you want to take, what instrument you want to take, if you want to take, like, band or whatever.
Yeah. They make
and,
you fill out that sheet. And
yeah, and then
your
with,
future.
Like, your first choice, your second choice.
Did I tell you that when I did that, I put German for all my choices?
Didn't get one of them.
And I was, like, I
wow,
was
you really
grader.
Wanted it.
I was a 5th grader.
Wow.
I had, like,
wow,
no...
you got to start... early.
Sixth
I didn't
grade.
Get to start till 8th.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I guess it's important to note that prior to that, how my school worked was we started Spanish in 6th grade and you'd have it like once a week or something. And then in 7th grade you had, for me, I think it was 2nd and 4th quarter, I had Spanish. And 1st and 3rd quarter, we had a 6-day rotation, like a 6-day letter day rotation. It's going to be so confusing for so many people, I feel like.
It's confusing for me, so
it's like a 6-day letter rotation, and like out of those, 4 days were something called student success, where we learned like study skills.
But no one cares about that.
No, no one did. They stopped it after my year.
Well, I mean,
where you learn study skills, and then the other 2 days were Mandarin.
Oh, yeah.
And that was only, like, 2 quarters with, like, 2 days out of a 6-day rotation. So, as you can imagine, no one learned any Mandarin. And then we only had a little bit of Spanish, so no one really learned any Spanish either. And so then you got to pick, like, do you want to take Latin, French, Spanish, or Mandarin? And so, basically, then that happened. And so I'd had a little bit of experience with two of the choices, but not French or Latin. And so we got our choices, and I was, like, really torn, honestly. I wanted to take all of them, which I think it kind of leads to where I'm at in my life now. But I wanted to take all four languages, basically, because I had, like, different reasons I wanted to take each of them. Like, at first I was like, I would do any of them except for Mandarin. But then as it went on, I hate this. But wow. Then as it went on, I was like, you know, I really like Mandarin. Like, it's cool. You learn the characters and the tones and things. And I just don't know enough of it. That's why I didn't want to take it. Which probably was why I didn't want to take it at first, was because I left, like, feeling like I learned nothing. And then Spanish I wanted to take mainly because I was like, I already know a ton of Spanish, so I'll be able to be, like, a year ahead of where everyone else is in their languages. Like,
whoa.
I'll be, like, doing so much further advanced Spanish, which I'm then glad I didn't go with, because the Spanish kids just kind of, like, repeated everything that we'd already done,
yeah.
So that they were at the same pace as us. And then the two that I really was torn between was actually Latin and French.
Really?
Yeah, and part of it was I wanted to take Latin because there was that whole thing of, like, it will help you on your SATs. And so,
oh, is that really what people do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually why most people at my school took Latin. Like, everyone who took Latin took it for the SAT and stopped. Like,
oh my God.
Like, I don't know if anyone took Latin senior year.
Oh my God.
It was, like, a junior year while you're preparing for your SAT is, like, your last point.
Wow.
But I...
That's frustrating.
I feel like I'd mainly just, like, heard from... I don't think I ever actually wanted to know Latin. I just had heard that I needed to, like, know it to help me on my SATs. And, like, I didn't even really know what the SAT was in 7th grade. But I'm like, that's a big test I have to take and it's gonna pick my future. So I need to take Latin. And then
This is a toxic mindset.
French ended up... Thankfully, this was a thing because this made me pick French over Latin. Basically, French meant you got to go on a trip to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, at that point in my life, had never been outside of the country, and I really wanted
to. You
picked
it to go to Canada?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, okay.
I'd never been outside of the country, and my family, I kept being like, we should go travel, and my family was like, no, we don't want to get you a passport, we don't want to travel, blah, blah, blah.
You don't need a passport for Canada.
Well, I didn't get one, but still, my family was like, we don't want to go to Canada or, like, anywhere, really. And so I chose French so that I could go on a trip, because then,
that's so
funny. Then my family wouldn't be involved. I could get taken out of the country without them.
Well, this doesn't relate to French, but the reason I chose German was because we had German kids from high school come to my class in 5th grade and perform a skit in German. And
you thought they were, like, the funniest
one. I thought it was so funny that I was like, yeah.
You were like, that's the language for me.
All my choices.
No, so I think mine ended up going, I think I did, like, French first choice, Latin second choice, and then I don't know what my third choice was. I don't know if I picked Spanish
or
Mandarin. But either way, I ended up with French. Because also,
and that's why we're here.
It was partially because I could go to Canada, and a bunch of my friends were also going to Canada, and I was like... party in Canada, and then partially because my mom took French.
Okay.
And so it was that thing of...
You did what my brother did of, like, a sibling took it.
Both my sisters took French, too. Is that,
because,
like, a thing
that's
that
a
just
thing.
Happens? Because...
Yeah,
because
the parents were like, well, oh, your older sister, your older brother did that, so every
just
other
just because I've noticed it's, like,
footsteps.
The same thing with, like, every
they'll
family where,
homework.
Like, the younger siblings take the exact same language and, like, same instruments and, like, certain things. Whenever there's, like, a choice, the, like, sibling just takes the same thing.
Yep.
But... Yeah, so I went with French, but I still was like, I don't know, I should have taken Latin. But,
that's so funny.
Granted, I ended up enjoying French. And so, yeah, I took French in 8th grade. It was fine, I guess. They sent us to Canada. I think we went like January or February, and like, let's remember that the school year starts in like August. So there was genuinely like 3 months.
Well, that's okay.
Of class
I also went to Canada to France within a year of learning French.
Yeah, but we were 13, let's say, if we're 13 in eighth grade. And they did set us free on the streets. We had like free time or whatever where they were like, go on, you only can speak French to these people. Like, there was a rule that we weren't allowed to speak English. And like,
that's the way you do it though. Like, that's how you run an immersion class.
But also, who's sending 13-year-olds free in Canada?
This is how American classroom should be run.
But yeah, I guess it helped. but we were also so confused. I can remember being there like one of the first days, and we were given like the free time or whatever, and we were trying to find a restaurant to eat at, and we were like, we don't want food that we can get in America, which like, it's Canada. You're not gonna really find that exquisite exotic cuisine.
Don't offend the Canadians. Speak for yourself.
I'm just saying, like, we literally were like right over the border into Canada. Like, it's not that crazy of a thing. But, so we were, like, asking, and I remember we, like, were all, like, in a group. There were, like, 6 of us together, and we were, like, trying to figure out how to say, like, cheap, and no one knew the word for cheap. And so I think we knew, like, a lot or something, and so we were all trying to, like, piece together, like, not a lot of dollars or something. Like, we none of us knew how to, like, communicate, just, like, we want cheap food.
Wow.
And then finally, like, this guy was like, you speak English? And we were like, yes. He's like, do not try to speak French. And then, basically gave us directions to a restaurant, I guess, but where we got to try poutine, which is, now I'm gonna offend the Canadians, it's disgusting. Poutine's disgusting.
I don't know what poutine is.
It's fries with gravy and cheese curds on it, which now I can't even eat because I'm vegetarian, and you couldn't eat either, but...
Oh.
It's disgusting.
It was like, that almost sounds
we're not
all
missing
right.
anything. And that one is gonna get some backlash.
Abigail and Matt, cultural critics.
Hate your poutine. So yeah, I took it in eighth grade. I joined like French Club too. I was in French Club for a while in eighth grade.
French Club.
Continued taking it through high school. I was in like honors, and then I took AP my last year in senior year of high school.
Look at you go.
And yeah, that's pretty much about it. Like, I also did.
You then became a French major in college.
Like, how I learned to. I don't really have much to add there because
it was a classroom
through
learning.
School.
Did you take it outside of the classroom ever?
I did, especially my senior year. Probably my junior year too, but especially like towards the end of high school was when I really was like, you know, I don't feel like I know as much French as I want to know. And it's kind of that I just didn't get what I wanted from it, and I also around then was like, I would like to sound French, and I do not, because when I was in eighth grade, I just didn't. We've talked a little bit about this before, but like, when I was in eighth grade, in typical like middle school fashion, it was like uncool to sound correct in the language.
Well, this is
and
why
so,
everyone hated me.
And I was
class.
Like super self-conscious at that age, so like, I initially started out on the path of like trying to repeat exactly, and then I just, like, I guess I wanted to seem, like, cooler or whatever, so I, like, basically, like, purposely sounded bad in French, and then, like, that obviously has repercussions, and so there are certain words that, like, they're always words that I learned early on that I say with, like, a slightly more American accent, and it's, like, when I learn words now, I can immediately kind of, like, click those into the right way they're supposed to sound, but it's words that I've known for a long time. I just, like, I'm so used to saying the way that I previously said them that they sound
so
a little weird.
That's so weird.
But I think, like, junior, senior year, I really tried to, like, up my French in, like, what I was doing on my own. But especially senior year, because that was, like, I started learning Esperanto in my junior year and at the very end. And that was sort of, like, what put me on the path to, like, polyglottism.
Yeah.
And so, because, like, although I dabbled in other languages, that was the first one where I was like, wait, I can learn a language on my own. And also through, like, Esperanto, like, I was just watching Esperanto videos, and I found Benny Lewis has a video where when Lauren was learning Esperanto, they go to, like, a bookstore, and they're talking to someone, And that was the first video I saw that was, like, a polyglot video or whatever. Like, I saw that. And he was, like, talking about how his girlfriend was learning Esperanto to learn a language like he does. And, like, they were going to go talk to someone. And I was like, wait a minute. There are people who, like...
learn multiple languages.
Do... like, yeah. He has a whole channel that's, like, about how he learns languages and how his girlfriend's learning a language. Mm-hmm. And, like, she wants to learn other languages, too. And, like, I went through his, like, whole channel and saw, like, he had videos that were about, like, his language learning plans or, like... updates and stuff, and I was like, wait a minute, he, like, this is what he does, like, mm-hmm. he doesn't just learn one language, like, he learns all of these languages, mm-hmm. and then, like, you see the, like, related videos, and there's all these people that learn
things. The Tim Donor Thinker video.
And so I was like, whoa, this is a thing, and so I think then I, like, was like, it's time to, like, up my French, and now I know how to do that, too, so yeah. I, like, spent a lot more time just kind of doing other things. I don't really... I know I bought the Perfect Your French book, but I didn't love it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did Duolingo because I hadn't done the tree at all, so I was like, I'm going to complete that tree.
Well, that was like, did you hear Martin from College Info Week, like, a few months ago or whatever it was, like, wanted to refresh his Spanish and French on Duolingo and, like, was like, oh, I'll give myself a month to do this, and then he did both in an afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, because I can remember being on a bus, actually, to come down to visit you.
And you did it
and
all.
I was doing, I did, like, the whole French tree, and I can remember we went around, like, this one loop right outside of New York City, and it's, like, so sickening, and I was, like, on the last, like, three lessons, specifically, like, I remember this, I was, like, trying to finish, and I'm, like, I feel so nauseous, but I'm so close to done, and I, like, went through and tried to just, it's, like, the spirituality lesson and, like, a few others or whatever, and I'm, like, but yeah, I, like, tested out of, like, the whole tree, and also, like, I'll talk about it later, but, like, grammar was one of the things I struggled with the most, when I was, like, coming through learning French, and so I think the Duolingo tree actually really helped with that, because it was a lot of just, like,
context.
Do these exercises with the grammar, and so yeah. I was like, ah, now I know how to use grammar.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then I'm a French major in college now, so I like French. It worked out that I wanted to go to Canada. Shout out to that trip.
Nice. And should I start with my story?
Yeah, I think yours is a little bit shorter than mine is. So.
I think so. Well, it doesn't have the span of years that yours does.
Yeah, exactly.
I began learning French, I guess what is now 2 years ago or so,
mm-hmm.
In the summer of 2016, when we took on the Ed1 challenge. Abigail did Bulgarian and I did French. And I kind of chose French because it was Abigail's first language that she learned other than English. You know what I mean? Like, German was...
first one that I stuck with.
Okay. Show off. It was your first successful one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so it was kind of like the opposite head of the coin for her learning German. That was
mm-hmm.
my language. And so she could help me with my French and I would help her with her German.
Although, I think actually...
did that come after?
I just realized you actually had learned French a few times before this.
I had attempted.
I'd forgotten
I think
about
the year
that.
Before, I think I did it for like a
I
month.
Think you tried to start around when I started learning German. I think we actually tried to do
right.
like a switch off of like I learned German and you learned French. And then I think you picked it up one or two times after that too. And you just kind
I
of always
tried,
would pick it up and then you'd be like...
I was never really feeling it before
mm-hmm.
I did Ed1.
You also hated romance languages.
I always had a... yeah. Yeah. No, I was not a fan of romance languages for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
But,
who's
yeah.
been here since the days when Matt hated romance languages?
I've now learned three.
Let us know in the comments.
I've now studied three and like them. So, things, people change, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So I began with the Ed1 challenge, and if you're not familiar with that, that's 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 90-day challenge to study a language every day. You have... four check-ins with...
I think it may have changed a little bit now.
Well,
it's changed
the,
who's
the
running it, so
what,
just...
the structure of what we did.
Yeah.
And at the end of that, you need to have a 15-minute conversation with a native speaker. And so the way I lined it up was I spoke to the French teacher at my high school
mm-hmm.
and told her at the end of my 11th grade, I told her I'd be interested in taking a French class in my senior year. Sorry, I'm like burping. And she knew I was big into German and in the German community in our school, and she was
mm-hmm.
very happy that I wanted to come learn French. She knew I was into languages at that point, and was, like, overjoyed. She was having meetings with me where I could just talk to her about how I wanted to go about learning French. She lent me a textbook,
mm-hmm.
all this stuff. She was, like, really on my side. And And so I had my conversation with her at the end of the 15 weeks when I was back at school, at the end of the 90 days, sorry. It was really interesting. I mean, French was a really difficult language for me, surprisingly, because of how much English vocab it has, or at least how much vocab English has derived from French.
But all of your experiences have been with Germanic languages,
yeah,
like English and then German.
And then even Esperanto's like works kind of dramatically, you know.
There's like a little bit of both, but
absolutely.
I also remember you had more trouble with Esperanto than I did, vocabulary wise, because
yeah,
I was
so
all,
much of it came
every
from
time
French.
We'd go through it, like grammar of course was easy enough for us both to pick up, but and I think I struggled a little bit more with like the accusative than you did.
Yeah, see, because like the grammar made total sense to me, but you're right, the vocab, it was like
but the
totally
vocab
foreign.
I can remember being like, oh, like I of course that's that, and like. Or, like, I could guess, I'd be like, that's what this is gonna be. And I'd be like, how are you getting that?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, because, like, Spanish and French and stuff sound like that.
Yep.
And, so I remember that was, like, a thing where I definitely had an easier time than you did.
Absolutely. And so, and I feel like learning French made me have, it gave me that comfortability. Going forward with languages like Spanish and Italian, and even going back to Esperanto, like, there's a big comfort there, like, it's kind of my anchor in the Romance languages, because it's the earliest one I learned, even though I think, like, to this day I speak pretty poor French, I'm happy with my ability, in terms of, like, for what I put into it, I got out what I put in, you know, so I went from doing the Add One Challenge, where I think I tried to do an Italki lesson a week every 2 weeks, whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it was that you did, but...
But it's about a week or 2 weeks, having a lesson with a tutor or speaking with someone. I used Teach Yourself French. I used Learn French the Fast and Fun Way. I used resources online, various resources there. We have those study groups and the Add One Challenge.
I never got a study group. I forgot those were a thing.
Well, you were Bulgarian.
I was the only one learning Bulgarian, so I didn't get the whole study group thing.
Oh, yeah. But I also had you to help me, which was fantastic. And so we got to speak with one another. You designed, like, lesson plans for me on Google Docs and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And then we would Skype each other, and you would run me through them and, like, teach me how verbs conjugated. And so that was really helpful. Like, I remember going into the school year, I would refer to those notes.
Well, I'm glad they worked out for you.
But so the class I took in 10th grade, in 12th grade, was a 10th grade honors French class. So
you
still
only ended up being a year behind where you would have been had you started learning French in, what, like, 6th grade then?
A year or two, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 2 years, I guess, but...
But I caught up relatively fast, and, like, I was very active in the French class.
You did all of that French, basically, in that, like, 90 days then.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think school started, technically, before the 90 days was up. I think we were around day 60 when school started, actually.
Yeah,
so
it was still, like, a month.
You managed to catch up in, like, 2 months to, like... What would that be, like, 5 years worth of schooling or something?
No, yeah, I think that kind of showed what our school system teaches and how it's kind of...
Yeah.
Like, I was very content with that because I was like, I've only been doing this for a summer, and, like, I'm at the spot of all you guys, you know? Like, I still obviously have pitfalls of, like, oh, the days of the week aren't as ingrained in my head as you guys are. I still need to think. I was in the stage of cognition, I think it's called. Like, where I have to think to retrieve the information as opposed to it being right there, I was still in that stage. I don't think I'd get to that other stage until, like, who knows if I'm even there. I think I'm at that second stage yet. Now, I mean. But I took that class for a year. Absolutely loved it. Like, I actually enjoyed that class more than I enjoyed my, like, IB, HL German class. Like... That class
Do you
was
feel
just
like
fun.
Part of it was also because, like, I assume, I mean, obviously I did the AP instead of the IB, but
similar.
I'd assume that, similar, I'd assume that the IB German class was probably more, like, test-oriented, or, like, test or just, like, grade-oriented of, like, you gotta get the IB, this score on IBs to get the IB diploma, and less so, like, if you're taking a 10th grade class, they're not in IB, like, IB's not even an option, so they're there more so to, like, keep learning or whatever.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Like, that was much more goal-oriented of, like, you need to hit this score or else we look bad type thing. Because
I know
also,
I still learned a lot in AP
also,
French, but I know a lot of it was, like, I think most classes we did something, an activity at least that was geared towards, here, this will help you on this specific part of the AP exam.
You know how you were the only Bulgarian learner?
Yeah.
I was the only German HL learner.
Yeah.
So, like, it became a thing of, like, my teacher didn't have the time to dedicate to me, who was, like...
Is the test any different, though? Do you
absolutely.
Think okay.
It's, like, longer.
Okay.
Or maybe it's not longer, but the demands are different.
Okay.
But I took that French class for a whole school year.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. And then that summer, we went to France.
Wow, yeah.
And I performed very poorly in France. I mean, also, we kind of had more of a vacation in France. It wasn't like a trip where we were staying with French speakers.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, we were
our
very
France
touristy.
Trip was not... Well, we weren't really necessarily touristy. We were somewhat touristy, somewhat, like, trying to just, like, hang out in France. But we weren't, like,
yeah.
living with someone, no.
That's the thing. Like, we did have Airbnb host who we talked with who, like, I could understand her.
Mm-hmm.
It became a thing of, like, quick things.
Yeah.
Quick conversations were, like...
Yeah, I do
kind
remember
of fleeting
that. Like,
for
it was,
me,
like,
you know
a
I mean?
Lot of ordering,
like,
or, like, when
can we talk about
things.
The story where we went to that, I think it was Versailles.
Yeah.
Can you do that story?
Yeah, so basically we were, like, buying tickets, I think, to go in, something like that. We were getting something like that.
And
I
so
think it must have been tickets, because
the
then,
construction of how you ask someone what your age is in French is, what age do you have? You know what I mean?
Oh, okay, is that how you got confused?
Well, sure, however I got confused, I totally misinterpreted the question. I think she was asking... I heard her asking what I have.
How old are both of you? And Matt just goes, yes.
No, I said no.
Did you say no? I thought you said yes.
She goes, what age do you have? And I said no.
All I remember was you said, like, yes or no, but you did it, like, immediately. Like, she didn't even finish the question, and you're like, no. And then you're, like, smiling and, like,
smiled,
looking at her,
and she
just looked at you so confused, and I, like, had to sweep and be like, he's 18.
Yeah,
like,
but that was genuinely how it worked. And then you explained it to me when we got inside, and I was so embarrassed, and I wanted to leave the country.
Because you were like, why did you, like, swoop in? I'm like, my guy, you just told her no when she asked how old you are.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I was, like, trying to, because I know you'd been, like, I really want to try to get
like,
to speak.
I've been, like, let me free. Like, if you love something, say
yeah.
free.
You were, like, you're taking too much responsibility, like, speaking, like, I really need the practice. And I'm, like, okay. So I, like, stood back, I let him answer for us, and she asked how old we were, and he was, like, no, and I was, like, hi. Here's how old we are.
Other than that, I was good at navigating the metro.
Yeah, I mean, I need someone to navigate metro systems for me.
There
so.
You go. In terms of, like...
How's it gone since then?
Since then?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's gotten better just by my knowledge of language improving. I think I've become better at
mm-hmm.
discerning what things mean. Like, when you were on your internship and I came to visit, I think I performed...
Okay.
I think that was the best I've ever performed in French. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I was the
and
most
And that was
comfortable.
Without... You hadn't spoken French in, like, a while
no,
when you came.
No, yeah. And so I think that's what happens when you talk about letting things simmer for a while and just kind of sit. I spoke the most naturally that I've ever spoken. I mean, it was in a very, like, friend-oriented
Several
setting.
People thought you had a Parisian accent.
And I disagree.
They disagreed with each other.
Yeah. They got in a fight over that. That was funny. Oh, I hear that. Oh my god.
Yeah, I guess anyone who hasn't heard about my internship that we mentioned at the beginning, basically I worked on film sets with students from Haiti and Benin and Africa, so I was speaking French throughout the whole thing, and also translating from English to French to English.
Interpreting.
Except it wasn't, like, simultaneous interpreting, it was more so, like, I'm gonna listen to what you say, and then I'm gonna paraphrase it,
mm-hmm.
Because I can't remember every single word-for-word thing that you say. Worked out.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that my interactions there were totally, like, fluid. I would say that, like, I still had to rely on you a lot. Like,
yeah.
I'd have times where I would speak
yeah.
with one of the students for, like, quite a while, and then I'd be somewhere where I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't understand anymore, and I have to be like, Abigail, can you come over here? Like, I don't know what's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I remember there was also, like, a joke where everyone was laughing, and you were, like, a little confused, and I was like, do you get what they're saying? And you were like, no. Or, like, you tried to guess,
yeah.
and it was, like, a little off, and I'm like, no, here's what they're saying. Like,
yeah.
There's
things like that, you know, like, very nuanced stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, I feel like it was the best I'd ever performed, and that took to when I was back at my supermarket, and that French couple came in.
Hmm.
And I whipped out my French, like, and I was like...
Pull the French card.
No, and I'm saying it was better than anyone I'd ever spoken to, and I have no idea why, but, like, that's ever been my favorite French interaction. Because, like, I just got to ask them things like, oh, where are you from? Where are you living right now? And it was so, like, carefree, I guess.
Hmm.
But, like, I can't even explain why I loved that conversation so much. But, like, it was just the best I ever felt. Like, I performed just, like, on the spot. I didn't have any warm-up time. It just came out, like, full force. It was really great.
And I guess, where do you think you're headed with your French afterwards? I think that's something we've never really talked about in the other ones, but...
Where my French is going afterwards, I'd love to, like, work on translations with you. I think my French would need to improve first. I want to read, like, French novels and stuff. Like, you have some books that I want to borrow. And I want to, like, watch more French movies. I used to be real big into the French New Wave when I was studying film.
Mm-hmm.
And I would watch those, but I needed subtitles because I wasn't studying French then. And I'd love to go and, like, watch those films, but for the purpose of, like, the language. And then try to enjoy both the art and the language of it. On top of that, I do want to go further my romance languages. I'm into ancient Greek right now, so I'm going to be touching Latin one day. And I think my Latin will improve I think Latin will improve my French, like, tenfold. Possibly. Who knows? Or I think my French will help my Latin.
Mm.
You know? Like, do a backwards route to Latin. That'll be interesting. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I took, for anyone who doesn't really know, because I don't know how much I totally talked about it on here. I think I mentioned it in passing in podcasts and stuff, but I took French translation as one course and then translation theory as another course last fall, and I really enjoyed both. And then I'm currently, for a different class, we're doing a translation exercise where you take, like, middle English and turn it to modern English, sort of, and just kind of doing that process again. I was kind of reminded of how much I enjoyed that. Like, also, we had to read a translation theory work, which came out of the textbook that I already owned. Translation Studies Reader, by the way, great, guys.
Yeah.
Definitely recommend if you're interested in translating. It's a thick book. No, it really, it's, like, this tall. Like, it's, like, textbook height, and then like, this thick.
Absolutely not. It's, like, this big.
No, it's not.
It's, like, this big.
It's the height of a normal textbook.
No, I've seen this book.
I can look up the dimensions for you later, but it is the height of a normal textbook. I have it next to my other textbooks in my bedroom.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
thought it was, like, a normal book size.
No, it's not. I wish it was, because I would actually, like, want to read the rest of it, but it's kind of a little inconvenient to carry around.
Like this? Is it not, like, this size?
No.
Really?
No, not at all.
Okay. Anyway.
But,
I have that essay in German.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I was reminded of how much I enjoy that. So I'd like to do more French translation stuff in the future, like written translation specifically. I don't love oral interpretation as much, which I already knew, like, going into it. I've always kind of said, like, I don't want to be an interpreter. I'd rather be a translator. And I think doing this, like, I enjoyed it, but I more so enjoyed when our conversations were just solely in French and I didn't have to interpret to English speakers.
Also, translating a text is so satisfying when you get it to fit, you know?
Yeah, I just feel like I'm able to spend more time on the process of, like, translating. As I, interpreting, it's like, I just have to kind of go for it, and so there's less of a creative kind of touch to it. It's more of, like, here's what the other person said.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, with translating, I'm able to kind of play with, like, compensation and, like, all these other kind of things. And, like, I definitely enjoy that process a bit more. So I'd love to do more of that in the future.
I look forward to it.
I also would love to continue doing, like, films and things with people from French-speaking countries. Like,
that?
I really enjoyed
that. How was
making
that. A film in French? How was that?
Well, our film was in English.
Well,
but
I was working with a French crew.
It was...
Francophone crew.
I mean, it was nice, like, getting to do both, because I've spoken a little bit about this before, but I don't really like language exchanges for the reason that I don't like when it's, like, our sole purpose of interacting is to learn the language. Like, I'm fine with it, and I enjoy it, and I enjoy teaching and things, but I don't... I much prefer when it's, like, we are doing a thing that we would normally do, but we just happen to be doing it in this other language.
That's a big problem with language exchange. And a lot of language learning activities of, like, this activity is for you to use the language. It's like, the language is the medium. Like, you're going to be using it no matter what. Have a task that's unrelated, but you have to
get through it with the language. No, exactly. So I really enjoyed, like, we are making a film, that is our task. But through that, like, I'm getting to speak French, and it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to do more things like that. I do have another year with this internship where I'll be going somewhere, so I'll get to speak French through that. But, I mean, after that, in general, I'd love to, if there were positions offered for me on cruise in France or other Francophone countries, I totally would do that. I don't know, I'd really love to do some things like that with it and do translation work and things. Definitely want to keep doing stuff in my French because it is, like, kind of my strongest other language. And I also just don't want to lose it because for, like, all of last year I didn't really speak French, and then it was, like, I got it back, basically, through this internship. But I want to make sure I keep up with it because it's never my default for what to study because I'm always studying the languages that I don't know as well as opposed
That's
to keeping up
one.
With my French.
That's a big one.
But I'd like to learn just more, like, colloquial phrases that maybe I wouldn't usually use. When I was doing translation last year, there were a bunch of phrases that I just, like, I'd never had to use, and I never really even use in English, but they were just really interesting to learn. So I feel like even just things like that, like learning those kind of things, would be fun.
Cool.
What do you think is, like, the hardest and easiest parts for you with French? Or what was the hardest and easiest parts?
I think in the beginning of learning it, one of the most difficult things was, I mean, and this hits any language, but for French I have a reason specifically, the most difficult part was discerning the spaces between words and speech.
Mm.
And only because of French's liaisons.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the opposite of a liaison is. I forget the other word.
I don't know.
Never mind. But this was something that I had a lot of difficulty with for a while. I just couldn't tell where words began and stopped.
Mm.
Whereas with other languages, I've always felt it was a little more clear. This one took me a little while to get
with,
over,
like,
that.
Yeah, especially with, like, Germanic.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a very clear, like, stop in between each word.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Other than that, verbs, I think, work very differently in Romance languages. They're much more fluid, I think. They're kind of in flux more than in Germanic languages, where it's kind of, like, rigid what it means. Like, you have a... And even just in the way that French verbs conjugate, you have... I enjoy the orthography of French as much as people complain about it. Like, I think the way you write it tells you what it says, but in speech, it all sounds the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I kind of enjoy that. That's a very nuanced thing. Very unique. But also something to get used to right there.
Yeah.
Very new and different.
Yeah, for me it was definitely like hardest part was definitely grammar when I was in school. I always, like, that would always be what I would get, like, really bad grades on was grammar. Especially just because I think not having, like, the distinction verbally, like, when my teacher is, like, lecturing, it's harder for me to see, like, oh, this is how I'd use this verb because it's just written and I'm kind of supposed to just get that on my own. So I think grammar was something I started to grasp when I was doing it on my own. And also when I was able to do exercises, because I feel like we didn't really do grammar exercises in school, which is not usually how people say, and I think it was kind of like a backlash to, like, people are like, we can't just do, like, rote grammar stuff in school. But I think I suffered from not having that because
absolutely
I, like, wasn't then able to, like, really solidify these grammar points in my brain. And of course also accent, but that's more so, I think, my struggle with accent is one that
I think it was a social setting.
Because I haven't really had so much of a problem when with new languages I learn. I feel like I can kind of work on getting the accent, and even if I don't sound exactly how I want, I can be, like, growing in my accent and stuff. But with French, I feel like it's, like, a constant state of unlearning. Because it's just, like, I solidified it early on in a way that I don't want to be sounding now, so,
Interesting.
Yeah, and what was easiest for you?
Easiest for me? Oh, I didn't think about this. I mean, the cognates with English.
Mm.
Like, I think I came into French with a lot of vocabulary already.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say vocab was easiest for me, too. Even non-cognates, though, were pretty easy for me. It was just always...
It's very logical.
It was weird because I thought that my... Since that was, like, the language I was exposed to these things with, I thought that I was good at learning vocabulary, but not good at learning grammar. But I found that basically every other language I've studied since, I struggle with vocab and not grammar.
Yeah.
I think part of it was the way that I was learning it, perhaps. Because I seem to have figured out my grammar problem, and more so it's, my problem isn't necessarily learning grammar, it's that I, or vocab, it's that I don't spend enough time on it, I guess, or something. Like, I just feel like, I always feel like I can't say as much as I'd like to, but maybe that's just a constant problem for anyone. And while I was in school, I never felt like I didn't know enough vocab, because I was only using the limited vocab that I knew.
Yeah.
Because it was very controlled settings, and here I'm, like, trying to think up phrases and things, but I, like, need more vocab. I also, I know we talked about in the German video that I feel like German started out difficult for me and got easier as it went on. And I had the opposite thing with French. I feel like French is easy when you start, probably because of all the cognates and things like that. And then as you go on, it's like, what is happening in all this grammar? Like, explain all these crazy things that are happening.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, it's insane. Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to add? I feel like that's kind of it.
I feel like that's it too. I guess we can, I don't know if we'll link them, if we'll remember, but if not, there are, all of your French diaries are on if you want to see Matt's progress with French. And I also have a series of French grammar guides, so things like gender, tenses. I really haven't done that many. I think there's only like 3 or 4 in there. Hoping to do more in the future, they just take a little bit longer to get made.
Yeah, it
take
longer to edit.
A bit more planning, a bit more editing. That sort of thing, and it's also just typically not what I go for, because usually I'm like, I'm learning something, let me document that.
Yeah.
So eventually I'd love to be making more of those, but for now, if you are really feeling the French kick and want to see Matt's progress and my kind of tips for French, go for it. I don't know if we really have, I think I made a French resource video at some point. I think that's the only other really French themed thing we have on the channel. Maybe there's something else, but
cool.
Yeah,
and all right.
If you guys have any suggestions for future podcasts, please let us know.
Yep.
As we said, we're pre-filming a lot, so there's a possibility you won't see whatever you suggest until later on in the semester, but possibly you'll see it sooner, depending on, I think we might spread our podcast filming out a little bit more, just so that we're able to kind of give you some life updates throughout, and they're a little quicker to film and things, but
absolutely.
Yeah, please let us know what you'd like to see. If you'd like to sponsor us on Patreon, there's a link for that down below. I don't think there's really anything. We've got social media links down below if you want to follow us anywhere.
That's all?
That's all.
Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you next time on Wednesdays.
And remember, practice
makes progress. Bye.